This is the Dinner Party Download from APM. Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Let's meet our guest of honor.
All right, and this week it's author Jesmyn Ward. Raised in coastal Mississippi, she was the first in her family to go to college. That's where she started writing. Her second novel, Salvage the Bones, informed by her experience enduring Hurricane Katrina, won the National Book Award.
Her latest novel, Sing Unburied Sing, is a ghost story, a road trip novel, and a family saga. Mm-hmm. Our narrators are Jojo, a sensitive preteen, and Leonie, his immature, drug-addicted mother. They and others go on a trip through Mississippi to pick up Jojo's white father from prison. When we spoke, I first asked Jesmyn one of our two standard questions. Tell us something we don't know about you.
I have really bad taste. In movies, in books, too.
Really?
Yeah, like secretly. It's
what do you mean bad taste? Like trashy?
Really yes. I love trashy stuff. But I think that my like bad taste, it's not contained by boundaries. One of my favorite movies is The Fifth Element.
Oh.
Yes.
That's not horrible.
I loved it for years. You know what else? You know what other movie? Every time I catch it, I watch it. The Happening.
The Happening?
Yes.
I don't know The Happening.
You're really glad that you don't. You should be happy. You're glad that you do not know The Happening. The Happening is that M. Night Shyamalan.
I'm going to pronounce his last name.
But the movie with Mark Wahlberg in it, where trees were killing people.
That's right.
Something about it is so appealing to me. Every time I own it. I own it on DVD.
Well, this is the real origin of your ghost story.
Every time it comes on TV, I always watch it. I'm like, ooh, The Happening is on.
I don't think that counts. Well, maybe it counts as research.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about how maybe you have questionable taste. Mm-hmm. No one who would read your writing would assume that. I mean, it's rich. It's literary. It's hefty. And I was wondering, you know, how someone writes so beautifully about such ugly things. I mean, there's so many moments in the book from ugly but small moments about the slaughtering of an animal to really deep ugliness between family. And you somehow, your writing is beautifully wrought.
This will be a strange answer, but I think that's a natural result of my impulses as a writer as far as the kind of prose that I love and that I appreciate and that I emulate, combined with the subjects and the topics that are important to me.
Social injustice and these heavier themes with this kind of literary training.
Exactly.
Well, it's a potent blend.
Thank you.
Tell me the spark that brought this book into being.
Jojo was the spark that brought this book into being because, you know, I was casting about for ideas for my next novel. And I heard this question, and the question was, what would it be like to grow up as a 13-year-old mixed-race boy in the modern South? Like, what would that be like?
Why mixed race?
I grew up in southern Mississippi, and the southern Mississippi that I knew when I was a child through the 80s into the mid-90s, and then that's when I left for college. Like, that Mississippi is very different from, I think, the Mississippi that I know now. At least on the surface, it seems like a very different place because there seems to be more acceptance of interracial relationships now, but I was wondering about, like, the surface quality of that, right? Because I have heard stories, you know, from various people, friends of mine, cousins, people in my community, that the old assumptions about Black people and their being worth less and the old, like, prejudices and racism, like, they're still there underneath the surface, right? And so I think that I was interested in writing about this mixed-race boy who has to struggle with those tensions, but in a very personal way.
Yeah.
Right.
The core of this book is kind of a road trip. They're going up to this penitentiary. They're doing other nefarious things to fund that trip. And they're going to Parchment Penitentiary, which is actually a real place.
Yes.
Tell me about that place and why you chose to put it at the center of this book.
So Parchment Prison is the Mississippi State Prison.
It used to be called a farmhouse.
Yes, it was a farm. It's a Parchment Prison farm.
Yeah.
The reason why is because for many decades, it was a working plantation, basically. 90% of the inmates who were sent to Parchment Prison, they were all Black men, basically. There was a very tiny number of Black women that were sent to Parchment. And then there was an even tinier, you know, white male population of prisoners. And once they were sent there, they were worked like they were slaves. They were also tortured like they were slaves. They were also killed like they were slaves. I mean, their lives were totally expendable.
Yeah.
It is not a working farm. I mean, you know, it's not a working, like, you know, plantation.
It's now just
now.
A prison.
Yes.
There's some really colorful characters that come from Parchman. Mm-hmm. Are those from history or are those from your brain?
Yes. No, those are from history. I read a book called Worse Than Slavery by David Oshinsky, and that book is all about Parchman Prison, and so that's where I found a couple of those characters.
Yeah.
The character that sticks with me the most is probably Hogjaw. He was an actual white inmate in the prison, I guess, who was somewhat famous because I don't think that he had multiple escapes, but they would let him out of Parchman, you know, and then he would like kill somebody or kill multiple people, and then they'd send him back, and then they'd let him out, and then they'd send him back, and he was like known for being like particularly cruel, you know. I mean, with that name, he's just like a figure out of a nightmare.
The interesting thing about Parchman, and we know this because JoJo's grandfather spent some time there, it turns out, the prisoners are, they're supposed to work at the prison.
Yes.
Given the task of tracking down other people that that escaped.
Yes. There are many horrible things about the history of Parchman. One of the most horrible things about Parchman is that inmates were trusted, that's a funny word to use, but they were...
pressed.
they were pressed to not only like work in the fields, but they were also made into...
collaborators.
Yes, because they were given guns and made to guard the prisoners.
Yeah.
And if you were one of the gunmen, if you were chasing an escaping inmate, and if you shot that inmate or if you killed that inmate in some way and prevented that inmate from escaping, then you were granted your freedom.
Ugh, that's so diabolical.
Yeah.
It's a road trip, it's a ghost story, and it's also kind of a family saga. You write so powerfully in your other books as well about the kind of vulnerability of black people in the South. Mm-hmm. I was reading another interview of yours, and your daughter came into your room, your writing room, and you live in the coastal South. And that brings to mind the question about your choice to stay in that area.
I've been thinking about that a lot lately. I mean, especially the political climate in this country right now, which is really horrible. And I've been thinking a lot about it, and I haven't come to an answer about whether or not it's best for me to stay where I am. I've just been wrestling with this idea that, you know, maybe the South is not the best place for me and for them. And then I think about leaving, and I think, well, what am I going to do about my mom? What am I going to do about my sisters and my nephews and my nieces? Like, my grandmother and, you know, my cousins. Like, how do I leave everyone that I love? And then part of me asks, like, okay, so where do you go, right? Where are you safe?
Jesmyn Ward, her new novel is called Sing, Unburied, Sing. It's worth your time, as is her earlier book, Salvage the Bones, which is about life before, during, and after a hurricane, an all-too-relevant topic this week.
Be safe out there, everybody.